The Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This evening is a special shiur, or a shiur on a special topic regarding physical health and physical fitness. This is a very broad topic. We're speaking here from a Torah perspective, and it's impossible to cover the very much of this in the limits of one shiur. But nevertheless, we will try to go into at least a few points which our sages and rabbis tell us. Incidentally, I have Dr. Clive Ivian to thank for this particular shiur, this particular topic. I did speak on this. It goes back 6 or 7 years ago, and the tapes are in our tape department. And I was at a school assembly, special assembly at the Hirsch Lines about a month or two ago, and Dr. Ivian was a guest speaker, and he spoke on the importance of one taking care of his physical health. And afterwards I had a few words with him, and I mentioned to him that I have given shigurim on this, but I think I spoke so much on it that I used to be under the impression that people didn't want to hear about it anymore. And he said no, and he's a person who's involved in community health, and he said no, we must constantly speak about this, constantly. So I told him, actually I was looking for the topic. We usually give a shiur on a special topic at the end of the year. I said, I'll take your advice, and I will speak on this topic then. So we thank him for the topic. Firstly, let us examine just how important is it from a Torah perspective that one should guard his physical health, keep himself in top physical shape and physical fitness. And there are a number of reasons, of levels, from the Torah why one should do this. Firstly, this is known as what the Torah refers to as Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz means what the Chochmah HaTachtena decrees. Man was given two levels of wisdom. One level of wisdom which helps him understand the physical world that he lives in, and a second level of wisdom which helps him understand the non-physical world that he lives in, the spiritual world. The first level is referred to as the Chochmah Tachteinu, the wisdom of the lower worlds. The second wisdom is referred to as the Chochma Elyena, the wisdom of the higher worlds. And the wisdom of the higher worlds is what is known as Torah. 7 mitzvahs of the Torah were given to all of the nations of the world, and 613 to Israel. The wisdom to understand this world that he lives in, this is known as Derech Eretz. And all of the nations were instructed with the wisdom of Derech Eretz. And that is what logic, what human intelligence demands and decrees. And you certainly don't have to go very far to see that human intelligence and logic decrees that a man should take care of the body which he is in possession of. The fact is, We always speak, especially in the Western world, of assets. Everyone is interested in the assets in his balance sheet. There is no doubt that the greatest asset that a person has is his body. And therefore, it does not take much seichel, much intelligence, to understand why it is important to care for it. And we are obligated, the Torah obligates us in Derech Eretz. In fact, as it states, that the wisdom of Derech Eretz was given before the wisdom of Torah, and therefore it must take priority. So that's at the first level. At the second level, we find, even from the perspective of the Chochmah Elyona, from the wisdom of the Torah, we are obligated. And again, from many different angles. For example, the Torah states, Yishom Elecha Ushmo Nachshecho Me'od, in Parshas Veschanan, Dalet Tes. Guard yourself, guard your life very, very carefully. And this refers to physical health. There's a discussion if it does refer to it or not. If you're interested to go further into it, the Torah Tanuma goes into it. But it does refer to physical health, and the Rambam brings it. The Rambam brings it in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Dalet of Hilchas Ritzeach. Secondly, the Torah tells us, commands us, with a mitzvah's essay and a leisaseh, positive commandment and a negative commandment, that we have to watch ourselves very carefully, that on our property there is nothing hazardous which might physically endanger ourselves or someone else. And that's in the posuk, Vosisa Make Legagecho, Leisosim Domim Veisecho. We are obligated to make a fence around our roofs if it's the type of roof that one uses in a regular basis, and to see that there is no bloodshed that takes place on our property. Now, this is not speaking where someone causes it, but even where it's through circumstances beyond our control. In other words, I or you didn't cause it, but nevertheless it was because there was a mixture, there was something dangerous on our property. And this is a mitzvah's essay and a mitzvah's leisaseh. And the Gemara elaborates on this, and the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch. We've given special shurim on this, just these various topics alone, in Perek Yud Aleph, from Shmiras HaNefesh, Retzeach Shmiras HaNefesh. Now, this does not only refer to a fence around your roof. The Rambam brings Echor Agag Vechor Kol Davish Yesh Beisakona Vereishi Koshel Beno Odom V'Yomus Kigain Shoyisol Be'er or Bor Bechatzerei. This refers to anything that a person can get hurt by. For example, you have a well, or you have a river running through your property, or in our times a swimming pool. We are obligated by the law of the Torah with a mitzvah's essay and a leisaseh, lohosir, to remove from our property kol michshul, any type of hazard which can cause harm, physical harm, to ourselves or to others. Then we have another mitzvah. It states in the Torah, leisashkis, that when you come and you make war against an enemy, it states you should not occupy yourselves, indulge in wanton destruction of the environment. Speaking where there's a justification to make war, it's a milchames mitzvah. Say. For example, it's a war of self-defense, let's say. So then you have a right to go and to fight against the enemy. But in wanton destruction of the environment, the Torah said one is not allowed to. Not allowed to chop down the trees and other such things if it's not necessary. And from here we learn that under any circumstances, Surely in a peaceful situation, one is not allowed to engage in wanton destruction of the environment. And from here the Gemara learns further. This means that one is not allowed to waste anything. Now what does this have to do with physical health? The Gemara brings from Shmuel, Masechta Shabbos. In those days, it was common, the practice of Hakosas Dam, bloodletting, which was used for refuah. It was considered medically very, very beneficial. And after one would let some blood, he would get very cold. And Shmuel, who was from the great sage of the Torah, but at the same time he was a great doctor, he said it's very important for a person to keep warm after he does such a thing. And Mora brings a case where they came home and they wanted to make a fire to keep themselves warm in this particular instance, and there was no wood around. And he commanded, he said, take a chair and throw it into the fireplace. So they asked him, you're not allowed to do such a thing. It's leisashkis. It's wanton destruction. So he answered, leisashkis the gufa odif. Wanton destruction of the body is more important than wanton destruction of material goods. So therefore, if one allows his body to waste away, he is guilty, same guilt, and even more so, of going around and destroying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's environment, like we see today all over. So that's from another perspective. Now we're speaking now where a person's health becomes deteriorated, not where he actually does it with his own hands. What happens if he actually inflicts wounds in himself? The Torah tells us there's another mitzvah. A mitzvah is leisase, a negative commandment of leisachbel. One is not allowed to inflict a wound in a fellow person. And the Gemara says there's no difference if he does it in a fellow person or achevel be'atzmai, or he inflicts a wound in himself. He transgresses the same negative commandment. An interesting shaila there was that sometimes at a bris milah there can develop sometimes some doubt if someone is obligated in the bris milah, if the bris milah was performed properly. Now in such cases, what you do is what is known as hatofes dam bris. If you just take a little blood with the kavona, with the intent that this should be for the bris milah, this is speaking after he was already circumcised, then you can fulfill the mitzvah. And they once brought a shaila to the late Gaon, the Ramesha Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. There was a question if the child was circumcised by a proper male or by a Jew, or whatever it might have been to begin with. And they said, look, it says no problem. We'll just make our toughest ambris. We will take an extra little bit of blood, and then by a proper male and so forth, and we will fulfill the mitzvah. And the Ramesha said, not so simple. Not so simple. Because if it was a proper milah before, then you will transgress a leisase, a negative commandment in the Torah, by inflicting a wound in someone. Shalei b'mokah mitzvah, where one is not justified. So this refers to someone else, or even to himself. And then there's ma'aved atzmo ledas. He's considered a retzeach. A person totally destroys himself. He kills himself. This is classified as murder. So we have all of these mitzvahs in the Torah that even from, not only from the perspective of Derech Eretz, but even from the perspective of the Torah, that one is obligated to uphold physical fitness and in no ways cause physical harm to himself. We can look at this also from other levels, even from a deeper level. From the Torah itself, there's a medrash. Medrash brings in Vayikra Rabbah, Perek Lamed Dalad, in Bahar, Perek Lamed Dalad Os Gimel. We quoted this not long ago. It's on a pasuk in Mishle Yud Aleph. Gomel Nafshoi Ish Chosid. That Shlema Melech, King Solomon, said that someone who is good to himself is a righteous person. Ish Chosid. Chosid doesn't only mean righteous. Chosid means saintly. Is a saintly person. Someone who is good to himself. So the Rebbe says, what is that referring to? Good to himself, he's a saint. We know if you're good to someone else, you're a saintly person. But what does it mean, good to yourself? So the Medrash brings Zehil Lasokin. This was the great Hillel. Shebisho shohoya nifta mitalmidov. When he used to leave his Talmidim, his disciples, and he would be going to the Merchatz, to the bathhouse, so he would tell his Talmidim, when they asked, where are you going, Rebbe? He said, I'm going to fulfill a mitzvah. What mitzvah? To the bath, going to the bathhouse. They said, "Zu mitzvah? Is this a mitzvah?" In other words, they classified this as derech eretz. Certainly derech eretz. But why is this a mitzvah? Yeah? This is something that human intelligence decrees. But why? Also from a Torah standpoint, he says, "Umay imi kunin shamalochim shemamirin ayse bebote tartiyos ubote kaksiyos." What was very common at those times is you had kings and monarchs, and sculptures, busts would be made of them, and they would have museums and special honorable places to keep them. Mishnisman alehem, and then they would hire someone who was a specialist in this, and he would polish them, and he would wash them, and he would take care of them. And they would pay him for it, and not only would they pay him for it, he would become very close to Gedele Malchus, to people of the government and people of the royalty. He says, Anishi Nivresi Betzelem Udmus, I, who am created physically in the image of Hashem, as it states, Ki Betzelem Elokim Osas Adam, Hashem made me in his own image. So how much more so am I not obligated to keep myself beautiful and to keep myself fit and to keep myself shining? If you had a sculpture of a king and you let it become deteriorated, that would be looked upon as a very grave act. Would be looked at as one who totally dishonors the king. A person has a sculpture or a painting of the king in his house, and he lets it become old and tattered and dirty. So he's always polishing it and always keeping it beautiful. That's honor for the king. So therefore, if I'm always keeping myself fit and beautiful and shining, this is honor for the king. So now we're hitting it even at a much higher level, see, from the eyes of the Torah. That if one lets his health deteriorate, this is dishonoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty. Then the Medrash brings a second explanation, a second case. When Hillel used to finish teaching his Talmidim, his disciples, and he would be going home for the day, and he'd be going home to rest a bit, and to eat, and to sleep, so his Talmidim used to ask him, "Where are you going, Rabbi?" So he would say, "I'm going ligmol chesed im hoden achsanya begubeso." He says, "I am going to take care of the orech, to take care of the very important guest that I have at home." When he said that a number of times, so they asked him, "Rebbe, kol yom isloch achsanya? Every day do you have someone staying in your house?" Omer lehem. He says, "V'hodei nafsha lufta lav achsanya ubegugu gufa." He says, "The breath of life that you have, the soul that you have, the nefesh that you have, isn't he a guest by you? Because yumadein hi hocha l'mochel es li'ocha. Today he is here, tomorrow he can be gone." So he was teaching his Talmidim that if you take care of yourself physically, you rest and you eat and you sleep and so forth, then you're doing chesed, you're taking care of the guest which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. So this is what Shlema Melech meant, King Solomon, when he said, when he said, Gemel nafsho ish chosid, that he who will be truly good to himself, that's a chosid, that's a saintly person. And this comes from the perspective of Selam Elokim, that we are made in the image of Hashem. Now at this point it's important to understand, we don't have, as mentioned, time in this limited structure to go into this in detail, because you could speak endlessly on this. But this, that we are made in the image of Hashem. What is a man? The marvels of man, of the physical man, are marvels which the greatest minds of the world, your scientists, your doctors, have been studying for the last 5,000 years. And there's never a day or a week that they do not continually discover a new marvel, a new miracle in man. And just to give you one illustration, Torah tells us that man was the greatest creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that he created in the world pales compared to the creation of man. And Chayav Adam Lomar Shehakol Nivra Bishvili. And man is obligated to say that the whole universe Hashem created for him, because this was the purpose of the universe. The purpose was not for the animals. It wasn't for the fish of the sea or the whales. It wasn't for the stars or the sun or the moon. But it was created for man. So this means that man is a greater marvel than the entire universe. What kind of insight do we have into the universe? Scientists and astronomers are constantly marveling as to how little we know about the universe and how much more we are finding out all of the time. And to give you one example, an article just published, and this was on the Hubble telescope, that this telescope that brings science into outer space like we were never able to view before. And what they did see, they were able to see beyond our solar system. And they saw great masses of clouds which were made up of gases. These gases, they say, were actually forging and creating new stars. And they're looking thousands or millions light miles away. He said, when you look at these gases through the telescope, it reminds you, if you're flying in a plane at 30,000 feet, and you're going through the clouds. But how big do you think this mass, each single mass of cloud was? Well, we could say it was 100 kilometers, 1,000 kilometers, 2,000 kilometers. They have measured that these masses are not only larger, a single mass of cloud is not only larger than the entire Earth, and not only larger than the entire Sun, but larger than our entire solar system. They have seen masses of clouds where each mass is larger than our entire solar system. They dwarf the sun. They dwarf the stars. The entire solar system. And this is something new that they have seen. And this is only opening up new vistas. So this gives you an idea of what the universe is. And now if man is the most marvelous creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so from here we can see what it means, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him, and B'Tselem Elokim. And this is referring to physical man. Yet what about spiritual man? And then we mentioned in the shiur not long ago that a group of distinguished physicians, surgeons, doctors, where they write on the human brain that even when a person is sleeping, the human brain handles traffic that would swamp all of the world's telephone exchanges. And of the 30 billion nerve cells that are in the brain, they connect with each other sometimes as many as 60,000 times, and at no point does one of the neutrons touch another. And it would put the greatest computer not only to shame, they write, but where each human brain makes the greatest computer look like a cheap toy. Now, the greatest miracle, they say, though, is that even if we would ever be able to construct something like that, it would probably need an enormous building to hold it in. The weight of the brain is approximately a kilo. And it holds millions of times of more miracles than the great rockets that we put in the moon, on the moon. So this is perhaps just an inkling from this perspective. And then there's one final perspective into the importance. And this is something that the Rambam tells us. The Rambam says, at the end of Perek Gimel of Deyos and the beginning of Perek Dalet, he says, when a person he's referring here to a broader scope. I'll mention just what he says, which is relevant to what we're speaking about. He says, when a person is sleeping, he sleeps for the sake of good health. When he's eating, for the sake of good health. When he's exercising, for the sake of good health. He says, this is all a great mitzvah. Great mitzvahs. Why? This is avedis hamokam. This is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because she yovin v'yistakel b'chochmos b'hura b'chela or echod me'evore keiv. Because it's impossible for a person to study Torah or to understand the wisdoms of Hashem if he's a sick person or if he hasn't had enough to eat or if just one of his limbs is hurting. Then it'll be impossible to have a total grasp of Torah or to have the energy to do mitzvahs. And therefore, when a person takes care of himself physically, through this he can come to great Torah and to all the mitzvahs. So this is not only an individual mitzvah. This is a mitzvah which can bring a person to all of the mitzvahs. And this is a bitla mitzvah. The neglect of this mitzvah can bring a person to the neglect of the entire Torah. We all know, heaven forbid we're sick, how much can we fulfill? How much can we daven? And how well can we daven? And how many mitzvahs can we do? And how much can we learn? And the Rambam follows. In the beginning of Perek Dalet, he says, Ho'il v'chiyes haguf, v'yes haguf bori v'sholem midarki Hashem hu. This, that a person should keep himself physically fit, he says, this is not only derech eretz, not only something which intelligence decrees, but this is from the way of Hashem. Because how is it possible for him to understand Hashem, to serve Hashem, if he's not well? So therefore, the Rambam classifies this not only as a mitzvah, but as a the fulfillment of this mitzvah can bring one to the fulfillment of all mitzvahs. The neglect of this mitzvah can bring one to the neglect of all mitzvahs. So, the first point we have discussed is what is the importance and priority of physical health and fitness from the perspective of a Jew, of a Torah-abiding Jew. Go to another point. There are two areas which in Western culture has been grossly neglected. Recently, these two areas are gaining a great deal of attention from Western medicine. And these two areas, in the words of the sages and the rabbis, for centuries and centuries have been held as the cornerstone of good health and fitness. Let's speak a little about them. Firstly is what the sages would refer to as Achdus Ushleimus HaOdem, the oneness of the human being. Today Western medicine refers to this as holistic medicine. Second one is what our Torah rabbis refer to as Shmiras HaNefesh, the guarding of one's health. And today this is being referred to as preventative medicine or preventative health care. Let's first take the first point. Achdus Ushleimus HaOdem, the oneness of the person. The Torah tells us that a person was created to be one, complete, and to work in perfect harmony. It says in the Torah, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es HaOdem ofer min ha'adama vayipach ba'apov nishmas chai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man from the earth. He blew into his nostrils a breath of life. Vayi Odom lenefesh chaya, and altogether now he became a living being. We see firstly he was created from physical matter, from the earth. Then he was created from a breath of Hashem himself. The sages expound that it states by Yitzhar he was created, it writes two yuds, by the animals. When Hashem gave them a breath of life, there's only one yud in the word. Here there's two yuds to tell us that he was created with a double dimension of life. Life for this world and life for the next world, which means that Hashem gave him a life, a physical life and a spiritual life. And then, after all of this, and this is what we would refer to as a neshama, a soul, and then after all of this, it states, Vayodem nefesh chaya, now he became a living being, after all of this was put into him. Now this living being, the rabbis explain, encompasses three parts of the person. There's the guf, the chemer, that means the physical structure of the body. There's the nefesh. The nefesh refers to the power of life which was put into the body. Its source is in the heart. And from here comes many of the life and many of the emotions of man. For example, love and hate, jealousy, revenge, happiness, joy, anger, and so forth. That's the second part of man. And the third part of man is known as the seichel. Its source is in the brain, the intellect, the intelligence of man. And this also is divided in two. There is the seichel atachtein and seichel elyon. He was given an intelligence which was a worldly intelligence, where he can comprehend the physical world. And then also he was given an intelligence where he can even comprehend the spiritual world, the non-physical world. Now all of this together made up man. The rabbis emphasize here, this does not mean that man has compartments. He has sections. We can decompartmentalize him. Compartmentalize him. He is not sections. He is not compartments. after HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him, he put them all together and he made one out of him. And he became one living being. He is a perfect balance and harmony and synthesis of all of this put together. Now this means even further that it is impossible, the rabbis teach, it's impossible to affect one area of man without it somehow affecting all areas of man. This is very, very important if we want to understand how we function. Let me give you a few examples of this. Where we see that how every area of man influences other areas. One example, the Chazal tell us in Brochis that a person who is full of hate, full of sin, spiritual transactions, will become a great warrior. He will become afraid. Now, fear is an emotion that comes from the heart. The transactions is something, the Avedas is something that's spiritual. Here we see how the spirit, the non-physical level of man, can influence the heart. Another Gemara, Anocha Shever Chatzi Aguf, a person who goes through a great deal of grief, it says this breaks physically half the body. Here we see how a human emotion, which comes from the heart, can have an influence on the physical structure of man. Another example, it states by Yaakov that when the news, it's in the up-and-coming parsha, when the news came that Od Yosef chai v'hi Moshe b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, Joseph is still alive and he's ruling over all of Egypt. And this was told to Yaakov. And Yaakov was an old man and he was feeling down. It states, but he ruach Yaakov. Yaakov lived again. The simcha, simchas halev, joy to the heart, had an influence, an immediate influence on the life-giving powers of the body. Another example, and this is all from one area to the other. In a parsha we had not long ago, parshas told us, Yaakov wanted to give the brochas. He wanted to give the brochas to Esav. So what did he tell him? He said, go out to Yitzchok. Thank you. Yitzchok wanted to give the brochas to Esav. So he said, go out, make for me, go find some hunt and make for me, prepare for me some food the way I love it. Bring it to me, I'll eat it, in order that I can give you brochas. Now what is to a man like Yitzchok? Yitzchok was the great Yitzchok. He was the one who gave himself for a sacrifice. He was never went out of Eretz Yisrael. Abraham told him, don't go out of Eretz Yisrael. Also, he never took another wife. He was in the ultimate of Kiddush, of sanctity. Now he wants to give the great brochas over to a son. He says, make for me a beautiful meal, and then I will be able to bench you. What does one thing have to do with the other? We see that how something physical can influence the way he will be able to give over the spiritual brochas, because it'll make him physically much more happy and much more satisfied. And being in such a state, he will have a better eye. Tev Ayin says for a brocha you have to have a good eye, and he will give with a fuller heart. Another example, by Yeshafet, he looked at a rosha. He became angry. when he saw the Rosho, the wicked person, when he was told to give a prophecy to the king, all of a sudden there was no prophecy coming. Through anger, his spiritual level fell. The emotions of the heart is having effect on the spiritual level of the person. What did he say? So he said, "Kehuli managin, vayekenagim managin v'tiyalav ruach Hashem." He says, "Bring me someone who knows how to play good music. Let him play good music, and I'll calm down, and I'll start becoming happy, and then I will be able to give you the prophecy." So we see here the joy of the heart didn't only emotionally make him happy, but it gave him a new spiritual level. And the Gemara says that from here we learned that the Shechina, if you want Shechina, then you have to be Simcha. If you're sad, in a Shechina Shere Metech Atzvus, if a person is depressed, depression is something which is emotional, he loses his spiritual level. If he's happy, it's emotional, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to him. Another example, this was in last week's parsha. When Yaakov was going to the house of Lavan, he was full of trepidation. He didn't know what to expect. He knew what to expect. This was the problem. He knew of Lavan. And he was full of trepidation. He was worried and whatnot. He went to sleep. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and said, "Don't worry. Nishmaticha, I will guard you. You have nothing to worry about. Wherever you go, I will go." States the next morning he woke up, Vayisro Yaakov es raglov, and he lifted up his feet. The Chazal say, what does that mean? Mishnizbase besura teva, shehuftach bishmira, nosaliba yas raglov, nase kalalechas. That from the good news, all of a sudden it became so easy to walk. He was trudging along, and it was such a difficult walk. It was such a difficult journey. And all of a sudden, from the good news, it became kal aleches, physically easy to walk. How many times do we have to go? We go to some place we want to go, distance is no problem. We go to some place we don't want to go, such a mahalech, so long. Now this all has to do with the emotions, the psychology, but it's affecting the physical person. Chazal say, Yain yisamach lev enosh. Wine, now wine is physical. Brings joy to the heart. It says wine was created to take depression away from the avelim, from the mourners. Mora brings a case of where someone asked him, one of the rabbis, a question, and he said, "I can't answer you today. Because last night lo achalti bisra datura. Last night I didn't have good ox meat. And therefore such a difficult shaila, I'm not able to answer today." Here we see eating affects the brain. Eating affects the stomach, we know that. But the brain. Moses says chitin yofel etalo. Grains, wheat, is very good for understanding Torah. There's a Gemara, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Shlem HaMelech said in Mishlei Tesvov, Lamed, Shmua Teva Tidashin Otsev. Good news makes the bones expand. Ruach Necheo, then in Parak Yudzayin, he says, Ruach Necheo, a person becomes upset, he sees someone that he doesn't like, Tiyavesh Gorim. Contracts the bones. Now being good news or upset, this has to do with the heart or the mind. What's it have to do with the bones? Then the Gemara brings a case where someone was, it was in the case there by the Churban Beis HaMikdash, by Yerushalayim, the siege of Yerushalayim, the Romans, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Zakkai went to him, and there was the general, and he was in the midst of changing shoes. So he took off one shoe, and when one shoe was off, a messenger came from Rome and said, "Hail the new Caesar." And he said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "The old Caesar's dead. You're the new Caesar today." So imagine a Roman getting news like that, that he's the Caesar. So when he tried to put on the shoe, it wouldn't go on. And then he tried to take off the other shoe, would go off. And he says, what's happening? So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, he says, this is what Shlomo HaMelech said, Shmua Teva, Tadashin Otsev. Good news makes the bones expand. This is your problem. So he said, what should I do? He says, call over someone that upsets you. See? Because Shlomo HaMelech said, Ruach Necheo Teyavish Gorem. That'll make the bones contract. Then you'll be able to get your shoe off. And this is what happened. Now, many of these things that we are quoting, how we see that you cannot affect one area of the person without it causing ripples to the entire person. This is something that we see was known to the Gemara for a long time. This is something which was also known to many other cultures for a long time. But for some reason, Western medicine neglected this area of medicine, for whatever reason it might be. And only recently are they coming to enormous discoveries in this. For example, I remember, I don't think it was longer than 10 or 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, when it was totally unacceptable, scientifically unacceptable, to relate stress to diseases. It was totally unacceptable. It was called nonsense and garbage. Diseases are caused by germs. It has nothing to do with stress. Today, the literature at the highest levels of the world, I'm talking now conventional medicine, the highest levels of the world, if it's from Harvard or Yale or Oxford or Cambridge, if it's the National Cancer Society or the National Heart Society or inter-world health surveys from the World Health Organization, that one of the greatest influences of diseases that was thought to be totally brought on by germs is stress, including heart, including cancer, and so forth and so on. I had the opportunity not long ago to speak to a physician, an old physician who specializes in hearts and has seen literally in his time thousands and thousands of patients, and a cardiologist, two separate discussions. And they both told me, clinically, this is very difficult to measure, but they both told me, in their opinions, the greatest causes of heart diseases is stress. He says, that's what they both told me from their experience. Now, what does stress have to do with heart? Stress is something which is emotional or mental. And here we're talking that it makes biological changes in the body. And this is why also in this, they are finding out today that patients who have a better attitude towards life become cured far quicker than those who do not. Now again, I'm not saying theories. This is all hardcore medicine today. They recover quicker. Those that don't want to recover, don't recover. Those that want to recover and they battle to recover, what are they battling? They're battling in their minds, they're battling in their spirits. It makes biological changes in the body. Those who are of good mind, of happiness, they're finding that the role of the nurse is so important because of tender, loving care to uplift the spirits of patients. Used to be that this was a chesed, this was considered, they were doing kindliness to the patient. Now they're understanding this is all part of the recovery. And we shouldn't really wonder at this, because we see this all the time. For example, a person himself can induce biological changes in his body. If he would sit down and start thinking of a luscious piece of steak, he could feel biological changes immediately going on in his body. Now, how did he trigger that off? With the mind. If a person would sit down and he would relive an experience or think up of an experience of terror, he could start sweating, his heart would beat faster, biological changes. Immediately, you have all types where the mind causes immediate biological changes in the body, or the heart can cause, emotions can. War, strife, sexual responses from the mind can create immediate biological changes in the body, all through the body. How we see that man is one. The problem, see, the problem that doctors have is that people show up with symptoms. And the symptoms are physical, but their job is, are the causes physical? Or are the cause, people show up with emotional symptoms? Are the causes emotional? Or people show up with mental system symptoms? Are the causes mental? This is what we have to find out. If there's a spiritual problem, it can create ripples through every part of the body, but it has to be treated then at the spiritual level. If it's a mental problem, it creates ripples through every part of the body, but it has to be treated at the mental level. If it's an emotional or physical, the same thing. And also we're seeing today in our society that we have all the problems of family breakdowns and children growing up with out parents and abuse and whatnot. We're seeing all types of other diseases jumping in, and many are convinced today that this is all something which cannot be ruled out when we're looking for either the causes or the, not necessarily the causes, but at least to the aggravation of this. I once gave this shiur on this topic many years ago in Durban. And there was an American, he was a doctor, he was an academic, he might have been a professor. But he was by Israel. He was a top medical man. And he told me then, he says, recent tests have shown clinically that emotional stress causes far more biological changes in the body than physical stress does. And this they've been able to measure. Emotional stress will cause more physical biological changes in the body than physical stress will. So here we see how the body works as one. Therefore, anyone now can understand very clearly that if a person wants good health, he wants to be well and strong, then the human being has to be approached in this manner. He can't work on one section of the body and expect himself to... He wants to jog. He can't work merely on jogging and expect himself to be physically fit. But he has to look towards the body as one. Something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, which has to operate in perfect harmony and perfect balance. This is what today is being approached as, known as holistic medicine. A second point we made. There's what is being now, what is called today preventive medicine or preventive health care. It's very interesting to note that from all of the literature of our Chazal, who have written extensively on this, and the Rambam, Rambam was a famous doctor also, and he writes extensively. It's interesting to note that their attitude is to take care of oneself, to keep oneself healthy and well. That is not classified amongst the refuahs in the area of medicine. But doctors and medicine are only for those who are sick. When someone goes off balance and he becomes sick, then he falls into the category where he must go to a doctor and misasik berfus, and he has to look for medical attention. But keeping oneself well, that has nothing to do with doctors. Doctors are for sick people. Keeping oneself well, which is a whole wisdom, and they've written extensively on this, this is the responsibility of the individual, not the doctor. This is a great... The Rambam, for example, he writes in Hilchis Deyas Perek Dalet, in Chof Aleph, in Chof Beis, he says, Kolamani Gatzma Vidrochim Elu. After he elaborates on good health practices, he says that someone who follows this, I will guarantee that he will not become sick until he becomes very old and dies. And he will not need a doctor. Won't need doctors. Unless he was someone who was born, to begin with some type of problem. Or for a long time he lived without good health practices. Or, for example, there was some type of famine or disease, plague that came through his Medina. And he says every normal person must live with these health practices. They won't need doctors. Aval achela, but someone who's sick, he says that's different. Then he must go see his doctor. So they do not even classify this in what we would classify as medicine. And it's a great chaval, it's a great problem, because the question is then who's teaching this? This is not for the doctor to instruct. You go to the doctor because you're already sick and he has to get you well. We're talking about keeping yourself well in the first place where you shouldn't get sick. So it's not his domain, it's not under his jurisdiction. And this is a great chokhmah, it's a great wisdom. So who's teaching it? Today no one is teaching it. The home is not teaching it. The school for sure is not teaching it. The doctors are not teaching it. It's not being taught. It's not being taught. So we get sick. We get sick. Then we have to go to the doctors. But who is teaching us on how not to get sick? Which is a great wisdom in its own right. This is an area that has become lost from our society. Today, as I mentioned, there's a greater awareness. It's called preventive health, preventive medicine. But this is all classified as good health habits, as Derech Eretz, the wisdom of Derech Eretz, where one was obligated to study about this. And it had nothing to do with doctors or hospitals. It was had to do with you shouldn't have to come on to doctors and hospitals. Now, in this area, a great deal is mentioned. But let us make mention of 3 points which great emphasis is placed on. And what is one is eating, the other is physical labor, and the third is sleep. When it comes to eating, again, our culture does not place any importance or very little importance on eating outside of satisfying one's needs. It's been called, Western style eating has been called the same as a petrol filling station. Just like your car needs petrol, so you stop by and fill it up, and the quicker the better. Person needs to eat, so he's got to stop by the table and gulp something down, and the quicker the better. This is why the fast foods industry is so important today. If more emphasis is placed on eating, that's because we are making some type of greater enjoyments for ourselves. We're going out to dinner. By the Chazal, eating was something very, very important. It was a very serious part of life. The fact is, in Hanhogas HaSuda, Hilchas Suda, the laws pertaining to the Suda, to the meal, is a great area in Torah law and in Talmudic literature, with literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of halachos, known as Hilchas Suda, how one must prepare for the meal, how one must act during the meal, and how one must act after the meal, and what to eat, and how to eat. And it was considered an avoda. This was a service to the himself, physically, emotionally, and to his soul. And Shulchanei Shalodim Kimizbeach, and the table of a person was compared to that of the altar. Those of you who had Zaydas, remember your Zayda. Everybody's had a Zayda, but just remember the Zayda. I'm sure we'll remember him saying, as mekumtnis to the tishazor, you don't come to the table like this. Or mezitznit at the tishazor, you don't sit at the table like this. Or meesnitazor, you don't eat like this. You don't just jump onto the table and jump off the table. Or you take a fast food and a beer to the television set and watch the wrestling match. See? Or you grab a sandwich and half of it you're downing in your car speeding off someplace. Now, the Zayde would say, Azay Fitmanish, this is not the way you should do. Medav zitzin via mensch, medav kumin su the tish via mensch, you have to come to the table like a mensch, and so forth. There was a whole area. It's interesting that today there's a lot of emphasis now they're finding on the Mediterranean diet. They seem to be far more healthier than the rest of the people of the Western culture. And one of the things that stands out in the literature is because they follow tradition, and meals to them was a whole exercise. It was a whole exercise. They could spend on a daily basis a whole hour at the table where it's served nicely and it's eaten nicely and they mull over their food. And this was an important part of their daily lives. Now, why are Chazal so interested in the Suda? One inkling would tell us that we have a brocha that states, Asher Yotzar Es HaOdem B'Chochma. This is a brocha that we make on the digestive processes of the person. The food is eaten, it's digested, and the good part of the food is absorbed by the body, and the psalis, the waste, is eliminated. Now on this we make a brocha. And the Ramo in Shulchan Aruch asks, why does it say, Asher Maflia Lasseis? This bracha says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maflia. Maflia means pella. Pella means something which is supernatural. What is supernatural in eating? So he says, first of all, it's from the greatest miracles because the body takes the food and it breaks it up. Scientists will tell you that it breaks it up in so many parts, but it's probably a million times more because there's supposed to be something like how many billion cells in the body? 100 billion, 200 billion, they're finding out more all of the time, and they have to nourish each cell. And now they're finding out that each cell is a world in its own, see. So, now, how does the body know what part of the food to send to what part of the body? See? And it doesn't make mistakes, unless we mess up the system. Takes the food, breaks it up into who knows how many millions of parts, or how many thousands of parts, or hundreds of parts, and it knows exactly where to deliver the goods in such a complexity. But still the Rambam is not satisfied with that, because he says that's physical. When we say maflia pella, that means something which is beyond the physical. What is beyond the physical in eating? So he says, you know what's beyond the physical in eating? Because the physical food is not only sustaining the physical body, it's sustaining the spiritual body also. It's sustaining the soul. What happens if a person fasts? All of a sudden he can't think. If he carries on his fast for too long, all of a sudden he can't even do mitzvahs. He can't learn Torah. He can't think straight. Eventually he could kill himself by fasting. He will drive the soul out from the body. What happens when he eats? He eats good, nutritious food. All of a sudden he understands Gemara better. All of a sudden he can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. So not only is the physical food sustaining the physical man, it's sustaining spiritual man also. So we can double or triple this enormous marvel what food is doing. We don't have enough respect for food. Just recently there was an article how they're finding that, and this scientists are marveling with, and they're seeking cures for cancer and for heart diseases. And they thought maybe it would be somewhere in the middle of the Amazon jungles. They're finding that a tomato and a carrot has equivalents in it, which equal the strongest medicines that they're using today for prevention, or even in many cases, the reversal of such diseases. The Gemara tells us that from the greatest miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs is Mezei Nesav Shel Odom. That he can sustain people with food. And it states, the Gemara says, in Tainis Esek Dulais Ve'en Cheker Niflos Arein Mispor, his marvels that one cannot comprehend. This refers to Ksomim. The rains that come causes the food to grow, and this sustains the human being. Now the Rambam writes as follows. He says, Reva Haloim Sheboim Alo Odom Eina Elo Mipnei Mafolos Roim. The majority of sicknesses that come upon a person, one should know, is because of bad foods. O Mipnei Shu V'Male Bitnei V'Eichel Achil Gaso Afilo Macholim Tovim. Or if he eats good foods but he overeats. This is what King Solomon said, someone who guards his mouth and his tongue will guard himself from much tzoras, from many troubles. His mouth, this refers to eating what he shouldn't eat. His tongue, this refers from speaking what he shouldn't speak. Now, he says, for example, great emphasis has to be placed on the quantity of food. A person should never eat if he's not hungry. He should not drink if he's not thirsty. Many times, see, we have to listen to our bodies. Many times we have to guard our bodies also with our seichel, but we have to listen to our bodies. Overeating to the body, that's the same as poison, so the Rambam writes. And this can be a major cause, or the major cause. for sicknesses. Le'echal odem ach dismale kreisai elayivchais kamei reviyam isavosai. A person should never fill his stomach to the ultimate. Never. When do we move away from the table? We move away from the table, we can't eat anymore. The Rambam says no. You should not fill your stomach to the top, but less reviya, three quarters full. That, he says, is in the cold seasons, the winter. In the hot weather, he should eat two-thirds of what he eats in the winter. In other words, in the summer, he should fill his stomach halfway. This is in regards to quantities. In regards to qualities, he says, Yosi malibay sheyechel v'yishte kedei lahavres gufa veivara bilvad. A person's intention when he eats should be to make himself strong and healthy. Therefore, he must look at foods from the nutrition perspective. Lefichach le'yechal kol sheachech misaveh. Therefore, he shouldn't eat merely what tastes good. Kekele v'chamor, he writes. Like an animal. An animal will eat what tastes good. Eleyechal dvorim amo'ilim leguf. Imorim imusukim. He should eat things which are good for the body, whether they are sweet or whether they are bitter. And he should not eat things which are not good for the body, even though they taste very good. Our food industry is built on taste. I mentioned this once before. I once met a fellow who operated health restaurants in Chicago. So he told me, he says, beware of health shops and health restaurants because there's more fraud there than in other places. So I said, why? Well, I'm not saying, heaven forbid, that they're all fraudulent. But he says, there you can be taken for a ride more than other places. I said, why? He says, because in your conventional shops, in your shopping centers, your conventional shops, food shops, there they are selling taste. Why do people buy? Tastes good. So how can you defraud a person? It doesn't taste good, he's not going to buy it again. So it's a milsara vila glui. But in the health shops, they are selling health. How do you know if it's healthy or not? See? So he says, there you have to beware. Now this is an indictment on our society, that the food industry is based on selling taste. That means that the consumer buys after what tastes good. The Rambam says that's kekele v'kechamor. He says we have sunk to the levels of animals. He says a person should not buy on the basis of what tastes good. He should buy on what is good for the body. Great emphasis the Chazal place on bread and on grains. Great emphasis. So much emphasis is that it was always considered the main part of the Suda. The main part of the Suda was the bread and the grains. That's why when one makes hametzi, the Gemara says, he makes hametzi, makes one broch on the bread, doesn't have to make brochas on other parts of the meal. Because it was considered that this is the main part of the Suda, and the rest was just eaten together. There's a pasuk in the Torah which writes in Bishalach Tesayin Ches, Be'erev Boser Lecho Velechem Babeker Lisbeya. A person should eat bread to satisfaction, but meat he should eat for taste. This means that the meats and so forth were used more as a condiment. Our eating habits have totally changed. Today, they're finding out that from the health perspective, the other is far more healthy. One of the Talmidim, Stephen Kravitz, he's told me about an article in Taiwan that they're basically the basic foods were the grains. But as the country is becoming wealthier, so now your major industries that manufactured foods from grains have had to diversify because they're getting away from that and they're going more into proteins and other types of food as they're becoming wealthier. And they're also doing a lot of their exporting of grains to China, to the other developing countries. So this seems to be a problem of affluence. There are all types of halachas on how one should conduct himself when he eats. For example, the Rambam says, before one eats, he should never eat when he's cold. He should never eat when he wakes up. But first he should do some exercise and some work to warm up the body, and then rest a bit, and then he should eat. While he's eating, he must sit. He should never eat while he's walking, or while he's riding, or while he's working. And he writes that we can go through, we don't have time to go through all of the everything that he says, but he writes that after a person eats, he must rest. If he goes and works right away, he says he can bring on himself, heaven forbid, haloim roim mekoshim, very serious diseases. Another important point. He says that, see, the body was built to maintain stability. If you notice, the body temperature is always more or less the same. That means that there's a tremendous air conditioning system in the body and a tremendous heating system in the body. He says that a person must help the body, work with the body, and not against the body. Which means, he says, in the winter time, you must eat foods that are warm, that are hot. You must eat foods that create heat. He says, for example, wines, honey, and so on. In the summer times, you must eat foods that are cold and foods that cool off the body. Well, for example, he says meat, fat meat, creates heat. Sometimes you see in our culture it can be a boiling hot day in the summer and people are standing around a braai and they're braaiing meat. What they're doing is, it's like it would be like you're sitting in a building and there's no air conditioning and all the windows are closed and you're suffocating and then you go put a fire in the fireplace. This is what you're doing to your body. Now, you're causing your body now to create enormous energy to cope with that. And you're draining the resources of the body. Not only not putting anything in it, you're draining the resources. He says the same thing, Mimadina la Medina. He says those who live in cold areas have to have a different diet than those who live in warm areas. He says the same thing from different ages. He says by older people need more to warm the body, while youth, their body are naturally much warmer, they need more to cool the body. So we see how a person has to constantly work with the body and not against the body. In the same point here, he writes that this is also, he places an enormous emphasis on this, the Chazal do, that part of the eating process is the digestive process. He says, you must eat a balanced diet where it's digested well. If it's not digested well, he says, then it doesn't help. The food doesn't help and can cause harm. And part of this is the elimination processes. And there they place great emphasis that in the elimination processes, a person's body must be working perfectly. If not, he says, you can eat the best foods, right? The best foods. But it can cause haloim roim. It can cause serious diseases to a person. Afilo echel macholes teves. Even if he eats good foods, if his digestive system and elimination system is not working properly, he says kol yom avu bechol yom. He will be a sick person all of the time. So these are a few notes which he mentions in regards to eating. A second point we mention is in regards to malocha. Now, he calls it work. He says it's extremely important that a person should do physical labor And he says to be ma'anes aguf. When you do physical labor, you have to work the body until the body is worked and it sweats. Now, he lived in a culture that physical labor was part and parcel of even to warm up a cup of coffee. People told me on Lithuania they had to warm up a cup of coffee. You had to go outside and you had to take a bucket and you had to go to the pump and you had to pump yourself a bucket of water. You had to carry it from the pump, it wasn't right next to the house, from the pump back into the house. You had to put it on the stove. You had to light the stove, which also wasn't so easy because you didn't have what we had. You had to go and get some wood that you had to chop or some coal and shovel it in the stove. You had to light the stove and heat up the water. In wintertime, you had even more problems. Someone once said that by the time you finished with that, you weren't interested in the coffee anymore. But this is how you made a cup of coffee. Now, so it was a work orientated society. They didn't have to jog. They went from one place to another. At best, it was by horseback or wagon. But most of the time, it was by walking. See? Walking long distances. He said, this is the best thing for the person. He writes even better, the Rambam says. He says, a person who doesn't keep a good diet, but he's always doing physical labor, he says he will be healthy. The physical labor will help him overcome the bad diet. What is this for? What is the rationale? Because the body will excrete it. It speeds up the digestive system. You sweat it out and so forth. He's saying not because of that you shouldn't, but he says, if you do, but on the other hand, he says, someone who eats good food, but he's yeshiv better. He sits like the royalty did. The royalty used to have to look for sport because they didn't do anything. He says, then that won't help. So today we have to replace it with exercise. We must realize that we constantly look for conveniences. These conveniences are shortening our lives. The push buttons are taking years away from us. To cut down on opening the garage door, to cut down on walking up the steps, the elevators, whatever it might be. Someone mentioned this, we don't even bother rolling down the windows of the car anymore because we got the push buttons. When I was a kid, it used to be a joke that the only exercise you're getting is winding your watch. And today they created watches that you don't have to wind anymore, see? They're taking years away from our life. And then finally, a third point is shino, sleep. I feel sleep is still one of the frontiers that modern science has not broken into yet sufficiently. And I read this once in a medical journal. It's one of the great marvels and miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chazal look at this that way. Person goes to sleep, he's physically finished, he's tired, he's worried, he's had it, he's spiritually down, goes to sleep, wakes up, Bria Hadosh, it says, a new person. He has to make a broch, he's a new person. He feels physically fit, he feels emotionally fit, he feels spiritually fit. Rabbi Victor Miller once said, when you go to sleep is the equivalent of having 50 doctors working at you all night. And the best part of it is nobody gives you an account for it. Imagine going into the intensive care like that. He says the problem with today is a man goes into the hospital and he has a heart attack. When he leaves the heart, when he's finally rehabilitated and he leaves the hospital, he gets the account, he can have another heart attack. He says you go to sleep, you wake up, no accounts, nothing, and they do a better job. It does far better of a job than our hospitals can do. Why? And I read with science, this is an area that they haven't had a chance to go into. It's enormous miracles. And there's a medrash that says that Shina, one of the purposes that sleep was created, was lirafua, to give the body a chance to cure, curative powers, where the body cures itself. The Rambam says a person should get enough sleep so he doesn't get sick. He quotes there as a sum, 8 hours. It differs from people to people. But interesting, he says, it should be so where he sleeps 8 hours and he gets up and the sun is rising. So to get up at sunrise and still sleep 8 hours, you got to go to bed pretty early. Today, South Africa is not so bad. Other lands are. Today, the nightlife, because we have electricity. It used to be, when it got dark, there wasn't much you could do, so you went to sleep. You got up when it got light again. And this is a great, this takes sleep away from people. And it takes curative powers away from people. And they become worn down. And they become depressed. And then all kind of symptoms, and nobody ever will have any idea where the symptoms are coming from. There are many yeshiva bochrim, they go overseas, and they overdo it. And they come back with all kind of sicknesses. And it could be a simple situation that they didn't get enough rest. They wear down their immunity systems, and they come down with serious sicknesses. Rav Gifter told me that when he made the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, the Stipler Rov came to him and said that, "I see the lights are on too late. Don't let the Bochrim learn so late at night." He says, "Make them go to sleep so they will stay healthy and well." Writes in Ibn Ezra, he testifies on himself. He says, how many times did he come to a sugi in the Gemara, and it took him a half a day to understand it? And other times he had a good night's sleep, and in 5 or 10 minutes he understood it. And the Gemara said, the Medrash says, that when Hashem said Vayar, he saw what he created and it was good, Zushino. Why? Because a person can sleep a little and get up and all of a sudden understand Torah. So that is something also that our culture neglects, and we abuse ourselves. These are some of the points from the sages on what this area would be called preventive medicine. Well, not preventive medicine, but good health care to prevent one from becoming sick. And this is an area that must be studied. It's not the doctor's jurisdiction. His jurisdiction is after the person gets sick. And from here we have somewhat of an idea of the Torah's viewpoint of the responsibility of the individual for physical, good physical well-being, physical health, and physical fitness. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.